How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. God is good.
All the time.
He really is good. Look around, give somebody a wave that says, I'm glad that I'm here today. I am glad you are here today. And I'm so glad to see you because that makes me feel better about me. How's that said? By the way, if you're part of our online audience, please say hello to one another as you are there. Our very own Dr. John Cazito is out, but I think Tim's going to be pinch hitting there. So if you have any questions, you can certainly ask away online. But we're so happy that you have chosen to be here with us today. And let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our worship today. Father, as we come to you and we just kind of take that deep breath, that sigh, and say, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be with God's people. Lord, it's good to be with like-minded individuals today. And Lord, what a privilege that you give us. As we come into your house, Father, we pray that you will help us to prepare our hearts to meet you here today. Lord, as we take these opportunities to lift up our voices to you in song, I pray that today we will consider the words that are coming out of our mouth, Lord, across our lips and into your presence, that they wouldn't be something that we would do mechanical today, Lord, but rather we would, from our heart, lift those songs as words of praise to you. Lord, I pray that that you would help us to be able to put aside the cares of the day and the cares of the week. And Lord, whatever may be hindering us today or whatever has the potential to hinder us from hearing what you have to say to us today. For Lord, we know that your word promises where two or three are gathered, you are there in the midst. And Lord, I pray right now that you would help us as we come together to relax our hearts and our minds that we might be receptive to the Holy Spirit's words to each and every one of us. And Lord, may everything that we do honor and magnify you today. So Father, right now, this is your time. Help us to be tremendously blessed as your word promises. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn to 202, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Please stand as we sing.
Yeah.
Thank you. As we turn to 213, we will glorify. Let me just say, most of you probably heard the term pulling out all the stops. You know, I don't know if everybody knows that's an organ term, and that's what happened on verse 4 there. I don't know if you noticed that. Just she pulled out the stops, and there were just more things, and I just love that, and I wanted to point that out. Thank you. All right, we will glorify.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Hosts, who is
Amen. We want you to know that we promise we are not trying to freeze you today. Although it is a little cooler in here than you might have expected. So we want you to know that that is a thermostatic malfunction. Although the heat is on and running, it doesn't know how to tell time. Therefore, it was having a little trouble, I guess, with AM and PM and the calendar and all that. So the heat is running. It will be warming up, and that situation is going to be rectified tomorrow by Building and Grounds. So we wanted you to know. Just bear with us. Who knows? Maybe I should have got a sermon on hell today, and then everybody, as you think about that, then that might have warmed folks up. But at any rate, we're going to be looking at some passages today that are going to come out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. But as we enter into the month of February, which is a shorter month, although it is leap year, so there's one extra day this year, our Cuba team is preparing to head out to Cuba. We will actually be leaving on the 29th. There has been a little change in plan on that due to flight schedules. So we are actually going to have to leave out of Raleigh-Durham instead of Greensboro, and we're going to have to leave the evening before. We'll have to go on Thursday to get down there, and then have to stay over in Miami one night, and then we'll head on into Cuba. But so this is the time when we allow our church to participate, and I can tell you that over the years and over time, you guys cannot even begin to imagine the impact that you have made. Essentially, we ask those that are going as missionaries on this trip to either raise their funds outside of the church, but any money that is collected through the church goes specifically for the ministries that we do over in Cuba. A lot of those ministries are ongoing ministries, and essentially Central Baptist and the funding that you give actually carry these ministries from year to year. I've mentioned to you before that our Awana missionary, you guys essentially pay his whole salary for the whole year to keep him out on the field, to keep him training. We've talked about some of those results. We may talk a little bit more about those. But this past year, we actually endeavored on a new ministry through church at Ducaro, which is where we're there pretty much every year. We did a lot of Awana work through there. I preach there each and every year that we go. The pictures that you see going on behind me are the adults are the staff of that church. One of their ministries that they have, which is something that you don't see in Cuba, is that they actually have a daycare, and they have over 100 children that are there every day. They use Bible stories to teach the children. Those photographs that you're seeing are of the children that are part of that daycare. And then in listening to them, they actually have to provide those children a meal every day. Food is scarce. It was even very scarce for us when we were there. So in talking with them, this is one of the ministries that we helped support last year with some funding that we were able to have outside of anticipated funding. But that's the pastor right up there in the front. But at any rate, the money that we gave them, and I believe that was $2,000 for these children and for their meals, would last them for about a month and a half, which is staggering to me. I wonder how they make it from day to day to feed these children, but they have never failed to put a meal on the table for these kids each and every day for lunch. They are teaching them Bible stories. They're not just a babysitting service as a daycare. They teach those children about the Lord and some of the things. I can't remember if I included some, but there's one of the meals that's being served. This is something that we would like to once again try to fund as we are there. We're trying to give you just little snippets of what you guys are able to do as we go forward. Our budget for this particular year is once again aggressive. You know, we need about $10,000 to perpetuate the ministries that we perpetuate while we were there, which includes the Senior Adult Center that we work with, this particular project, as well as the Awana Missionary and several other things. So I just wanted you to try to give you some visual experience as to some of the things that you guys through Central Baptist Church, and as the Lord has led you to give to these ministries, some of the things that are being taken care of there on an ongoing basis. We feel like as a church, it's not about us going over there. It's about what can we do to help them to continue to carry on and continue to be able to do and provide ministry. And I've never seen anything work as this has worked in that regard. So 365 days later, what you did last year is still in play. And God gives us that opportunity to once again help out. Even at times to seek new avenues and new venues by which to be able to help those nationals over there. That picture right there is the pastor up front. He was the one who took Julio's place when Julio actually got stranded in the United States. And we're so tickled to continue to be able to have a relationship with that church. So long story short, we're looking to raise through the church around $10,000 to be able to afford these ministries. We've got the next couple of weeks by which to be able to do that. What we do is we take everything with us as we go over there to be able to utilize on the mission field. And in the next couple of weeks, I will show you a few of the other things that we have an opportunity to be able to support while we were there. So as God leads you, I'm asking you if you would contribute to our Cuba mission trip. If you so desire to do that, you can just take an envelope, you can put it in there. All you have to do is put Cuba Missions on that, and every bit of that will be going to ministry as those who are going as missionaries have raised their support outside of what you were giving. Every dollar of that will go towards this particular endeavor to be able to be over there and perpetuate ministries in Cuba. So let's pause for just a second and let's begin to lift prayers, if we aren't already, for those ministries that we will come in contact with and the people that we will see there. Let's pray together. Father, right now as we come to you, we lift before you the Cuban people. Lord, those that are stuck in a political system that they had no control over. But Lord, the love that we see, the opportunities that we have to be able to worship together because, Lord, you are God there just like you are to us here. And Lord, I'm grateful for the hearts, Lord, the hardships that they endure. I'm grateful for the folks that we see, even as we've seen in these pictures today, who have a heart to reach young children with the gospel of Christ and be able to have that opportunity to train them to serve you from a young age forward. Lord, you have never failed. You have never failed them yet. And Father, you have used Central Baptist Church to be a part of your answer to their prayers this past year. Lord, I pray that you will put us in a position by which to be able to be used in that aspect once again. So, Lord, I pray right now that you would stir the hearts of your people, that as we give, that you would help lead us and guide us in the ways that you want to utilize what's been given through this church. Father, you have spoken very loudly and clearly over the years and exactly what you would have us to do. So, Lord, I pray right now that you would just work in our hearts and minds that we might give in a way that will change hearts and lives forever and ever as we reach out not only to our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria, but, Father, also to the uttermost parts of the world. Lord, bless our hearts, bless our giving, and, Lord, bless the time we'll spend together today in your word as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, today we want to look at some scriptural passages that that come out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and there's one particular phrase that I want us to catch when it comes down to these particular scriptures. So I'm going to go ahead and share the scripture with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to begin reading at verse 19, says this. It says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you." Let's pray. Father, you good to us. Speak to our hearts. Lord, draw us close to you. Use this your servant, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the biggest phrases that caught my eye, that caught my attention, as I once again read this, and I was thinking about what it meant to be a missionary and what it meant to go on these trips and to be a part of what is taking place. The one thing that always jumps off of these particular pages to me, particularly, is the latter couple of verses, particularly verse 22. If you look at verse 22, it says, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." I like that term, by all means. We have actually used that term before, haven't we? Has somebody ever said something to you and you're like, "Hey, should I do that?" And you say, "Well, by all means." Yeah. How many of y'all have ever used that term before? By all means. Yeah. In other words, what that means is do whatever it takes, by all means necessary, to do what it is that you have stated by all means you're going to do. Now, what is it that we're learning here, from our brother in the Word? Notice what it says. It says, "I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." What are the tools that we use to win other people to Jesus? You know what the answer to that question is? Whatever you got, whatever it takes, whatever God provides. You know what? I will promise you this, that when you are following God's will and God's plan, it looks impossible for you. You know why that is? Because it is impossible for you. It's not impossible when God shows up. You know, that's why at times, as of last year, when we were sitting there and I was talking with the gentleman from this particular church in Ducaro, and with smiles on their faces, they weren't sitting there, crying some blues story or talking about how difficult it is. We found him out working in some way, shape, form, or fashion to be able to get what was needed to feed those kids for that day. They show up every day and they have the teachers there that are working with these children, and yet there are still people who are going out to try to round up what their meal for that day is going to be. And here's the interesting part. They don't go out going, "Oh gosh, what a challenge." They know it's a challenge. But greater than the challenge, you know what they know? They know that there's a God who cares. They know that there is a God who provides. And their faith is gigantic. See, when they go out, they don't go out with the thought, "I hope I come back with a meal for these kids." They go out with the thought, "I know there's a meal out there. I just have to find it." And every single time, God shows up. By the way, you showed up last year for a month and a half just because we had a conversation. And when I say you guys showed up, I mean you showed up as instruments of the Father. You showed up as the one that God said, "I am going to use you, Central Baptist Church, to answer those prayers over there. I'm going to use you in the lives of those little children that you saw there." And he chose you. That should be an honor for each and every one of us, to say God picked us and he laid all the plans out. I'm going to tell you about something next week about how God showed up, that there's no way anybody ever could have come to know or what have you. But you know what? When we got there, God made it eminently clear what we were supposed to do and how we were supposed to do it. That's next week, so you don't want to miss that. But I want to say this. Missions is something that God's church needs to be excited about. I am so proud to be able to say that this church has done missions like no other church I have ever seen before in my life. I love you for that, and I know that you have allowed God to use you in an incredible way. But you know what? As we've come through some tough times, we need to renew our missionary vision. We need to increase our missionary zeal. What is that word? I like that word. Preachers use it all the time. You know what zeal is? Excitement. We need to have that renewed excitement about being able to go out and be God's hands and his feet and his voice. It was interesting to see over this past year how even on the local side of things, folks went down and served at Caraway. And the really interesting part about it was you provided something that was needed up there to minister to some young children that had some handicapped needs, and yet you guys had a ball yourself, didn't you? Don't tell me you didn't. I saw pictures. Remember, the preacher knows about everything, whether you think he does or not. He knows the who, what, why, when, where, and how. And y'all had a lot of fun, didn't you? I said, y'all had a lot of fun, didn't you? Y'all act like you can't say anything in church. Everybody say amen. Amen. Oh, it didn't kill you now, did it? You had a lot of fun being exactly what God wanted you to be in that situation and in that position. And I believe with all of my heart that God planted in with you the zeal to be able to continue to do that. When you got done, you said, you know what, I want to do that again. I want to be able to reach out and be a part of that again. I want to see God do some incredible things. So we need to increase that missionary zeal. And how do you do that? By becoming involved. Now, I know that not everybody can do what this team coming up is doing. Not everybody can get on an airplane and go to a foreign country, and deal with everything that has to be dealt with over there. I get that. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you what I do know as one who gets on that plane and one who goes. We cannot make it without your prayers. We can't make it without your prayers right here in these pews. We cannot make it without your prayers while we were there, because I will make you a promise that God has protected us in ways that we won't know about on this side of glory, because it can be traced back to a praying figure at 1715 Highway 68 North. I promise you that. I see little kids who sit there and have a meal with a smile on their face, and every time I do, I see your faces. Not because I'm not praising God. God said, I want to use you, and you, and you, and you. And I want to use what I led you to give, and I want to show you what's taking place. And by the way, it doesn't have anything to do with our teams. It has everything to do with God Almighty. We are simply messengers, and we give him thanks, and we give him praise. See, Paul was one of history's greatest missionaries that there was. And his goal in missionary work was to save some. To save some. Now, understand when I say that, what I mean. Paul, in and of his own power, couldn't save anybody. Y'all picking that up, right? It wasn't because who Paul was. It was about who Paul was in Christ. In other words, the only person that could save anybody then, and the only person who can save anybody now, is God Almighty through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we know that. See, that would be like us saying, we are going on this trip that by all means we might save some. And it's not about us. It's by all means that God may save some through us. So we understand that, right? We got to make sure of that in this day and age. See, his goal in mission work was to see some saved. And Paul was willing to identify with everyone to accomplish that goal. Now, he used all means of witness that were at his disposal, and so should we. I want to carry you back for just a moment to our scripture text. And what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it's really interesting how he starts off in that passage. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. Now, in verse 20, he starts to talk about what was going on there. To the Jew, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Now, let me give you just a little example or a little illustration of what he was talking about. You got to remember, Paul was raised around the Jews. He knew what their traditions, he knew what their culture was. He knew that they were very strict when it came down to the law. Now, when I say the law, do y'all know what I'm talking about? Following what the Old Testament was and all those things, following very strictly that code or that covenant. There was also a difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews thought that the Gentiles were those that were going straight to hell, do not pass go, do not collect $200, and that the message of the gospel was just simply for the Jews, and the Gentiles were not included. That was the way they felt about it. In fact, Paul was one of the first ones, one of the disciples that crossed that line to be able to share the gospel message with the Gentile people. And I always have this question to ask, and I know that you all know here, but maybe for somebody in our viewing audience that may not, people have asked me before, they say, well, who's a Gentile? My response is, are you a Jew? Nope. Then you're a Gentile. Now, it's a different message for a different day, but the bottom line was that the Jews did things differently. You got to remember, Jesus' own people who were Jews, the priests and the Pharisees, those the ones that crucified him were Jewish. Now, do not get me wrong. I am not preaching an anti-Jewish sermon. We're supposed to support the Jewish nation and love them. And buddy, I'm going to tell you one thing. We do. From this ground, we do. But I also want to say this. Paul said that the gospel message was for whosoever will. It didn't exclude the Gentiles. In fact, some of his own disciple brothers actually came to him and said, well, what are you doing telling these Gentiles about salvation through Jesus? Paul basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, whosoever will may come. There's some whosoever wills there that we need to reach. And then what he said was this. In the text that we're looking at today, he said, I know how the Jewish culture, I know how they function. And he said, when I am with them, I can function as them. He said, even though I'm free, the gospel has made me free. Even though that some of the things that they do out of tradition. He said, I don't mind doing the things that are traditional to be with them because that's not a major thing. He said, I will observe some of the things that they observe, even though we're not scripturally bound to do that. Why? He said, I'm not going to go in there and make a big, huge scene. So when I am with the Jews, I follow what they do. But then he went on to say this. He says, but when I'm with the Gentiles over here, I can fit in with them as well. Now, you got to understand my heart, though, and his heart. It wasn't to do something wrong. It was not to go against any biblical conviction. See, there's a lot of man-made things that we put in there, don't we? You know what that usually equates to in our day and age? It usually equates to legalism. That's usually what it equates to. All these man-made rules that don't have anything to do whatsoever, and traditions. And by the way, folks, I'm not against tradition. Tradition is a good thing as long as it doesn't hold you back from what God has called you to do in the future. I like what Brad said a moment ago. He said, at the last verse of the song, Donna pulled out all the stops. That was cool, wasn't it? How many of y'all enjoyed that? I like that. That's wonderful. Great sense of atmosphere and worship. But you know what? There was not a single organ back in Paul's day. Not a single one. And people would sit back and say, oh, well, you know, no. They didn't have it. They couldn't be using it back in Paul's day. They did have musical instruments, didn't they? Sure did. So what did they use? What did they use for worship? If you go back even to the days of the Old Testament, the harp, the lyre, percussion. Oh, Lord of mercy. Baptist preacher talking about drums and percussion. Why? How do you know that, preacher? Because it says they praised him on the cymbal and the hi-hat. Last time I checked, those were parts of percussion, right? So they did things differently than we did. And that was tradition. So somewhere along the way, even what we do has been some created tradition. There's nothing wrong with that as long as it does not hinder us from being able to go forward. That's man-made. We use whatever means, like Paul is saying, to reach out to other folks. Now, I got to be very careful that you understand this. As long as it does not violate the scripture, as long as it does not violate what God has told us, and as long as it's not illegal, providing that the legal part of things doesn't violate what God's word is. Now, some people would say, give me an example of what you're talking about there. The Lord tells us that we're to honor those that are in authority over us and to be subject to the governing officials because he's placed them there, all the way up to the point when they violate this. You see, one of those things that came up was when the government said, you guys can't meet together as a church. And we said, au contraire. At that particular point, is when you stay with what this says and not what they say. So when I'm talking about illegal, I mean illegal on this behalf. As long as the law is legal with this, then that's fine. So he said, when I was with the Jews, I looked like a Jew. And when I was with the Gentiles, I did what the Gentiles did. Now, you know what people would say? People would look at Paul today and say, well, that guy's a double agent. The Jews would say, well, he's not really Jewish because look at what he's doing over there with those Gentiles. And the Gentiles would look at him and say, dude, you're kind of playing both ends against the middle, aren't you? But yet he said, I can be with you and do what you're doing because I have the freedom that comes in Christ Jesus. And even what you're doing over here is not in violation of God's law. And as long as it's not violating what God says, it's okay. So what does that mean? That means we need to use whatever means necessary to reach those with the gospel message. It means that when we go places, we do some things that are different. You know, when we've been in Cuba, I've preached before when they said, oh, by the way, this is illegal. The CDR has been watching your team travel from place to place. And just if you are preaching today and Jose takes you by the arm and carries you out the back door, go and everybody go with him and go quickly. Because otherwise you could find yourself in prison. Does that bother you? I said, no. And honestly, having a conversation, they said, a lot of folks who had come over here before would say, no, we don't want to rock the boat. Folks, it's time for us to rock the boat for the sake of the gospel. Yeah, I've said before, I read about guys like Paul before that if I wind up in prison, guess what that means? That there's somebody in prison that needs to hear about Jesus. It depends on your perspective. It depends on how you look at it. God's going to get you where he wants to get you. And he'll use you for his honor and his glory. But we need to be willing and ready and able to do that. I wish that I could express to you the victory that you have had in this place in missions. We can tell story after story after story. The teams that God puts together, every single team that leaves this church. I remember the stories of the team that went to Wyoming, and when they showed up, they knew they were going to cook for a camp, but that was pretty much all they thought. But before it was over with, they completely reworked the water system for the camp, which had to be done, because without the water system functioning, they wouldn't have been able to have had camp, and the whole trip would have been wasted. And yet God sent the right personnel there who had the know-how to take care of it, to do that. So they fixed all this stuff. They had camp. And guess what happened? Kids got saved at that camp. If those people on that team hadn't been on that trip, that never would have taken place. Heaven was enlarged because of what happened here. And because of what happened here, what happened in Wyoming. And God continues to want to use it. And he says, Paul's saying, by all means. What does that mean? By every means you can think of, what means do we have at Central Baptist Church to reach other people? Now, I want to be also careful that when I preach about this passage, God is not saying that you become an alcoholic to win an alcoholic. Y'all get what I'm saying? I can't tell you how many times people, well, the Lord said, no. The Lord did not tell you to go down a bad road to reach somebody else. You don't have to be sitting beside them in the bar, partaking in what they're partaking in, that you might have an opportunity to get an ear. God will provide you another avenue. He will provide you another venue. I'm sure he's probably put those people on your heart. But you don't participate in something that would be classified as sin to be able to reach somebody else in that regard. You find where the, just like I've said before, God's not going to go down the road of sin with you. And people say, well, God's with you all the time. Yeah, but he's going to be at a distance. If you go in disobedience down that road, he's not going to bless you, I'm telling you that. But I will tell you this. He's saying, what do you need to do to reach people who are not like you? See, it's easy for us to gather here together today because we're kind of like-minded. But what about those who aren't? How many times have we looked at a different generation and said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, they need your help. And yes, they do, but I'll say this. It doesn't mean that what that younger generation is doing is necessarily wrong. It just may not be how we do it. It's funny because over the years we've had different treasurers, different financial people within our church. And I will promise you, I said, you know, here's the interesting part. None of those two will prepare a report in the same way. None of them will essentially make presentations in the same way. In all my years, I've never understood one of them. But I'll say this, they haven't been wrong. Just because one person does something one way and somebody does something different doesn't make either one of them right or wrong. It's just a matter of preference, is it not? It's just like when you leave and somebody says, which way are you going to go? Well, I'm going to go straight down 68 and get there. And somebody says, well, I don't like the traffic on 68, so I'm going to go out 150 and I'm going to circle back around. Here's the bottom line. Are you both going to wind up at the same place? Yeah. Why do we get so mad at people because they don't drive our route? You know, I'll sit back and say, if you want to be dumb and do that, that's fine. But I'll see you there. Probably get there before you. What do you want me to order for you while I'm still waiting on you? Doesn't make it wrong. Paul says this, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. We can sit back and cross our hands and shake our heads all we want to, but God has given us the responsibility to reach all generations, to reach all nations. And we might think they're weird, but guess what? You know what's really interesting about that? I mean, honestly, I mean, we can be honest with each other. If you look back and say, Lord of mercy, look at that generation. That's a weird generation. They look at us and say, we're weird too. You say, I don't want to reach them weird people. And then them weird people say, well, I don't want to be with you weird people either. And then all of a sudden we start making lines. And that's not what God said. God said, do what you got to do to reach people with the gospel. And here's why. Because every single day people are dying and going to hell. That is what should matter. How would Jesus look at these folks? What would he say about the weird culture, the weird generation? What would he say about us if he walked in? See, if Jesus used the same standard to judge things by which we do, he might come in and say, where's your harp? Where's your lyre? The musical instrument. Where's the percussion? And I believe that some of us would be going, what? You mean you really want that in here, Jesus? By the way, there's nothing wrong with what we're doing. There's nothing wrong with a piano. There's nothing wrong with an organ. But we can't just relegate ourselves to that. I have not been to a church in Cuba that worships like we do. Not one. Older generations, younger generations, they all play their own music. You want me to tell you, the only place that I have heard anything that remotely sounds like what we do when it comes to worship music? At the retirement center. By the way, it was beautiful. I was standing up there on the platform one day, and all the senior adults were together, and guess what they were doing? They were singing a hymn, first hymn I had heard sung that we would know. And I didn't even understand it, but I knew the tune of it. And they were singing it with heart. Was there anything wrong with that? No. Matter of fact, I kind of joined in quietly under my breath because obviously I wouldn't want to scare them. But yet when we went to the different churches that were reaching people with the gospel message, that was not the music. Matter of fact, a lot of that music, some of it I could understand, some of it I couldn't. Some of the tunes I knew, some of them I didn't. But what I saw was people worshiping. And what I saw was the Cuban people using all means to reach those with the gospel message. So what does all means mean to us? What does it mean to your missionaries? It means doing missionary work all the time. It means being aware of the presence of people that are around us. How many times did Jesus say, "Do you see these people? Do you see these people? What are we doing to reach them?" It means seeing people as God sees them. It means sowing continually, putting that seed out. It means being able to share your testimony with others. I know that some of you in here actually have written out your testimony before. You know what? You could write that out. You could carry that with you. And you could even give that to somebody. Because your testimony is personal to you. And I will make you a promise that God has put people in your life that need to hear your testimony. They need to hear your story. Plain and simple. You could say, "Hey, I just want to tell you a little bit about me. This is a little bit about me." And you could give it to them. If you're so scared to even say something to somebody, give it to them in writing. And God will use it. Watch for opportunities. Seize those opportunities, those openings by which to tell people the love of God. Be alert for the signs around you, the signs that people are hurting, the signs that they may be opened to hearing the gospel message. I still remember coming back, or going back to the place where we were staying one time on one of our Cuba trips, and I had a chance to preach in a church in Guantanamo, and I was gassed, man. We had worked all day. I was tired. They don't have air conditioning, so you just sweat pretty much all the time, and I'm fat, so I sweat anyway, so you can imagine what that was like. And I still remember, after church was over with, they carry you out and you greet everybody. And we literally stood there for over an hour greeting people. And I'm like, "Where'd all these people come from?" I said, "There was not that many people in the church." And it was a church maybe a little bit further in length than from where I am, maybe to the other side of our narthex and probably as wide. But it was an old church. Remember the churches that had the three-sided balcony? Like standing from the pulpit, there was balcony up there and it went and it came across the back. And it was pretty full. I thought they had a good crowd. And I thought, but there were still more people out there. I said, "Where'd these people come from?" He goes, "Oh, all you saw was the sanctuary." He said there was a floor above that was packed with people. And he said they were up on the roof watching it on closed circuit. He said there was about 1,200 people here tonight. And there were multiple salvations. And I still remember on the way back in the van, you're kind of taking a breath. I was like, "Just need to rest a minute." And Chad Carter had that Chad Carter, I'm thinking, look going. And Chad just looked over at me and he said, "God is unique, isn't he?" And I was like, "Yes, Chad, he is." Where is he going with that? So there's that pause, and I said, Chad looked back over and he said, "Yeah," "I was just thinking about something." He said, "There was a guy that was deaf in that church today that accepted Christ." And he said, "I began to think about the fact that God loved that one guy, at least him, so much that he called you from North Carolina to come over to Santiago, to go from Santiago to Guantanamo to preach the gospel in that church on this particular night." And he said, "Not only that," he said, "you preached the gospel message in English, so God had to provide Jose to translate that into Spanish so that all those could understand in their foreign tongue." He said, "But then it gets even better than that God provided a deaf interpreter to interpret what you said in English and what Jose said in Spanish into sign language so that that one guy could understand the gospel message and give his heart to Jesus tonight." And he said, "That's incredible." And I said, "Yeah,
It really is.
See, I hadn't thought about it that way. You see what lengths God will do? He will use all means to reach people with the gospel. Are we willing to use all means necessary to reach people with the gospel? What does by all means mean to you? What are you personally doing to keep sinners from going to hell? It's a personal thing. Are you involved in witnessing in any way, in some way, in any way? Or do you only sit on Sundays? Just come and go, hey, I did my thing today. Get my week started off right. I'm going to church. Oh, I'm not going to go to discipleship. I'm not going to do any of that stuff to help train myself. I'll see you next week. I'm just a spectator. Don't ask me to be a part of. But folks, Jesus didn't call any of us to be spectators. He called us all to be participators. And it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Have you given out your personal testimony? Have you had that opportunity to share? I know a guy that I see that I follow on social media. He is winning multiple people to Jesus every day. You know what he does? He's retired, but he goes and sits in a restaurant and he starts to share and talk with people. And every single day, he will win somebody to Jesus. And he'll present them with a New Testament. And he'll work on following up with them so they can grow in their grace. Every day, I see a new face that's coming into the kingdom because that guy is willing. And some of you are going, oh, it scares me to death. No, well, God didn't call every one of you to go to a restaurant every day at lunchtime and share the gospel. He didn't say it that way, but he's placed you where you are with the people that you are around, and he does expect that. Tell your story. Your story's unique, and God will use your story. What's God done for you? What is it that the two of Jesus' disciples said? He said, we cannot help but to tell the things that we have seen and we have heard Jesus do. That's personal. What have you seen Jesus do? What have you heard him do in your life? Now, the tough part is some of y'all just said, I don't know. You couldn't answer that question. Then it's time to start walking closer with him. It's time to start seeing what he's doing. It's time to get excited about it. Because you know when you get excited about stuff, that changes you, doesn't it? I love what a thing I saw on social media said. It kind of made me chuckle, but it's sad, but it's true. It said the weatherman calls for a little bit of snow, and you cannot, everybody's gone and bought out the grocery stores with the bread, the milk, and the eggs, everything else. They freak out because the weatherman said it's going to have some snow flurries today, but yet the preacher preaches week in and week out that the end of the world, the end of your life is happening, and that heaven's real and that hell's real, and nobody cares. There's not been a run on people coming to know Jesus. When the preacher warns, the preacher gives heed, take heed to what's taking place. It can happen in the next moment. It can happen in your next breath. What are you going to do? Are you prepared? Okay. Hey, we can get a trace of snow. Well, let's go get meat and chicken and let's get ready to get snowed in. We freak out. We freak out about the wrong things. What are we doing to keep sinners from going to hell? How are we involved? Do you pray for souls to be saved as a result of your telling them about Jesus? How long has it been since you even invited a lost person to come to church with you? I'll help you out. I'll tell them about Jesus. You just drag them on down. Warn me, I'll go with you. It's one thing I love about getting older. You care less about what people think about you. I'll tell them about Jesus because I care enough not to see him go to hell. I want you to think about that for a minute. God, may God give you a burden. Listen, if you're afraid to tell them, drag them on down. I've seen you guys do that before, and I love that. Hey, this is my friend so-and-so. Hey, friend so-and-so, we're glad to have you with us today. Drag them on down. How long has it been since you've done that? We all meet lost people every single day. What are we doing to change that? Are we concerned enough to use all means to be able to reach them? What means will you use to tell somebody about Jesus? Use all means, right? Because all means all. By all means. Let's do what we can do. People all the time say to me, they say, well, I just don't know what I can do. I said, well, what do you do? How can you use that? I still remember Peggy talking to me that day, and she said, the only thing I do is crochet. I said, well, we can use that for God's glory. And all of a sudden, homeless people got a blanket because Peggy and her crew crocheted blankets for them. And she said, I can't go down there and take them to them. I said, we got a team that goes down there and feeds them every month. I said, Christmas is coming up. So her team teamed up with that team, and they reached out to those folks and provided a gospel message and provided a handmade crochet little blanket. And when there were babies being born here, she would make, I call them little things, that little crocheted papoose that they'd put that baby down in there. What do you do? It doesn't have to be something difficult. You don't have to take the four spiritual laws or the faith program. God's given you what you need to do. Do what you do. I love being around people serving and doing what they do. And people are asking me, well, what do you think about this? And I've got that expert in my life that I say, what do you think about that? Well, I think we should do it this way. I'm like, what he said. You know why? Because he does it for a living. He knows what he's doing. I could get on a power trip and say, yes, I think I ought to do it my way. I will promise you, if we do it my way, it's the wrong way. That's why we need each other. That's why God brought us together. No accident that you're here. God said, I am not done with you yet, and you have not even begun to see what I can do with you as you follow me. So what will we do? Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to have our invitation in just a moment. And as always, here's the critical key. The critical key to everything is that you have to know and love the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Get rid of the process. See, that's just been taught so much. Well, I go to church and I'm a good person. Church people go to hell and good people go to hell. Saved people go to heaven. What does that mean? That personal relationship, that personal walk. It's not just about coming here and doing all these things, man. Have you cultivated that relationship? Do you walk with him? Do you talk with him? Not just on Sunday, but every day. Do you get to know him in his love letter to you called the Word of God? And let me make you a promise. I dare you. I want you to take me up on a challenge. Discipleship is great if you do it right. Ask some of these people in these small groups how much they enjoy the time of coming together and learning from God's Word and learning from one another. That, my friend, is discipleship. Those guys will fight for each other. They'll fight for each other. Steve Kelly's group right there, they'll whip each other for, they'll whip somebody for each other. My kind of group. Which also means they'll walk through the tough times with them. They'll celebrate in the good times, and they will learn from the Word of God. What a privilege. You have that same opportunity. The question is, will you take it? And it's fun. Get some pretty good eats along the way, too. Have you trusted Jesus? Has there been that time when you've said, Lord, I'm at the end of who I am. I need to be at the beginning of who you are from here on out. Prayer is a way to contact him when you say, Lord, I'm all messed up. I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you did, if you ask him to save you, he did. That's just the beginning, though. That's not, oh, I'm done. I'm going to go out. No, no. You need to plug into him. You need to get to know him. How do you get to know somebody? Anyone? Anyone? How do you get to know someone? You talk to them. You spend time with them. You picking up the spiritual connotation there? You spend time with them. And you know what? When you really like somebody, you endeavor to spend time with them, don't you? You make time for them. I hope you're picking up the spiritual application. Personally, grab that word. I don't understand that. That's why we need each other. That's why you need to get in your group. Get into Sunday school class. Be here tonight for Bible study. Learn from each other. It'll be a great fun ride. I've had the time of my life. I can't believe it's been as long as it's been. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Maybe you're here today and you said, you know what, I've got heart dropsy. I learned that when young. Y'all remember what that means? Some of y'all have heard that. That's an old term. You done dropped down and you ain't got the heart to get back up. It's time to get up. Take that breath. Get that drink of water. Move forward. Say, Lord, I'm tired and I'm weak, but here we go. And I will promise you that he will invigorate you, because when he uses you to accomplish his will, you get excited about it. I think every one of our team last year came back sick and tired, literally sick and literally tired. But we're leaving again in just a few weeks, because we got to watch what God did. Next week, I'm going to share a really special thing with how God used you in the lives of these Cuban folks. In fact, a church is going to happen because of you. A church that had been 10 plus years in the making is going to happen because of Central Baptist Church. Because God showed up last year in a way that none of us ever could have predicted. I'll share that with you. It means you got to be back next week. And if you sit back and say, I'll just watch it online on the replay, I'll have them cut it out. Come on back and be with us. Listen, what decision do you need to make for Christ today? If you decided today's the day that you gave your life to him and you're going to follow him, please let us know. I'll be down here for the invitation hymn. We just want to celebrate with you. Maybe God said to you, look, you're done being a sitter. It's time to be a charger. It's time to get up. It's time to be moved. Whether you square that with him where you are, the altar's here, I'll be here, whatever you need to do to make it right with the Master, capitalize on this moment of conviction in your life. As we stand and sing number 275, I surrender all. Can you sing that with heart? I surrender all, Lord. It's all you. As you go to the Lord in prayer, as you deal with your life right where you are, the simple question is this: can I leave this place today free of conviction of the Holy Spirit? Have I dealt with what it is that God has put in my heart and in my life at this particular point? Make sure that you can answer those questions with an affirmative yes before you leave this place today. He's tugging at your heartstrings for a reason. How will you act? And how will you react to that? As you continue to seek the Lord in prayer, I'm going to ask our ushers that they make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, you are truly good to us, and Lord, everything that we have comes from you. We don't have anything. You have just allowed us to be stewards of what is yours. Father, today I pray that we will be found faithful to be stewards in keeping with your word. Help us, Lord, as we return the tithe. And Lord, we ask that you would lead us to the offering, that you would have us to give for the mission work that is at hand. Father, you have done incredible things through this church. We just ask that you would continue to do so and continue to bless as only you can. Thank you for blessing us here, for what's taking place miles and miles away from here. And Lord, may you truly, truly bless the gift and the giver today as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That. Just a couple quick things, then we'll get you on out here towards lunch. Birthday's coming up this week. Tomorrow, our very own Debbie Sullivan, our administrator, I don't want to say secretary, that's what I grew up with. Administrative assistant is the proper term, correct? Is that okay? Thank you, Carol. Administrative assistant Debbie Sullivan, her birthday is tomorrow. If you get a chance, send her a text message, drop her a note, something on social media. She's just been so good to us, and as always, it's a tough time of year for her. It's been right at a year for the homegoing of her husband, but just show Debbie some love this week some way as you can. And then on this coming Friday, Chris Sawyer will be celebrating a birthday, and then on this coming Saturday, Annette Joyce will be celebrating her birthday. So as you see these folks, be sure to let them know that how much you love them. I don't have any anniversaries listed for this week, but just to give you a couple of things that we have going on, events for the day. My D-Life group meets at 3:30 over in the conference room of the Family Life Center. Choir rehearsal, 4:45, still back to the normal time. Awana is at 5:30. Starting at 5:30 over in the multi-purpose building, and then Bible study with Pastor David right here, 6 o'clock p.m. Is band rehearsal going, starting back up yet? Okay. Didn't know because we usually have that as a standing thing. So the band is not practicing yet. I think we'll probably be kicking back up shortly. Monday, Steve Kelly's D group meets at 6:30. They're meeting at an alternative location this week. They'll be meeting at the Starbucks up there. So if you have any questions about that, you can see Steve Kelly. Then on Wednesday, every Wednesday is always the men's breakfast fellowship at the Olympic in Colfax. That's at 10 o'clock. So I always say this, there's no agenda. It's a relationship building thing. It's a bunch of old guys wanting to go out to eat. So let's try to make it some young guys going out with the old guys to eat, because it's always a blast. So 10 o'clock in the morning every Wednesday, Olympic Restaurant Colfax. Wanted to let you know the 2023 contribution statements are ready. I think they probably have been collected already and they're being mailed out, or are they still back there? They're gone. Okay, because the tax thing says they got to have them. You know, got to have them by the end. So Debbie has collected those. So if you didn't pick yours up, you will be receiving it in the mail. So we give folks an opportunity to do that, but they have been prepared and should be in your mailbox. Saturday, February the 10th, the ladies are going to be having a prayer breakfast, 8:30 to 10:30. Right here at the church. They're going to meet in the Family Life Center for breakfast at 8:30, and after that, they're going to adjourn to the sanctuary for a time of prayer that God's going to do some incredible things through our church and some incredible things in hearts and lives. If you have any questions about that, you want to participate in that, contact Mari Kelly. Right there's Mari, right over there. Mari is leading that endeavor, so be sure to see Mari and come be a part of that. Also, keep in prayer. I mentioned how important it was a moment ago. Our Cuba mission team. The trip is actually March 1st through the 8th, but we will be leaving on the 29th of February, that weird day of the year on leap year that doesn't exist. because there are no direct flights out of Greensboro to Miami anymore. The only way we would have been able to have done that was to go on through either, I think they said Detroit or Dulles, Washington National, or Houston, Texas. We're not going to fly as much. We're going to fly as little as we have to. So, in other words, we'll be leaving RDU on the 29th, going to Miami. We will have to spend the night, and then we will fly American Airlines out of there into Santiago, Cuba on March the 1st. So be praying for us and God's will to be done. Just as a reminder, there are a lot of things, more things than you can ever imagine, that are going on around here, around the property and the premises. If you are having anything, if you're having a meeting, if you're having a class, if you're having anything, please contact the office or building and grounds so that we can list you for a room, the multi-purpose center, the kitchen, or whatever, because there are so many things that are going on around here right now. If you show up and something's going on in your room or whatever, whoever showed up and got whoever got it on the calendar, that's who it belongs to. So please, if you're having anything, let us know. We will get it on the calendar, and that way we'll keep any conflicts from happening. I'm sure there's things I've forgotten, but I want to say that I love. Yes, ma'am.
Who is on the mission team
that's going to Cuba. Okay, good question, Helen. Myself, Mike Stone, Steve Kelly, and Ken Allred. That's our four. Jeff was planning on going, but Jeff still has a little bit of cardiac rehab. His heart is going with us, although his body is going to be. What's that? You're keeping your heart? He knows what I mean. His heart's going with us, but his body's staying here. He still has a little bit of cardiac rehab to have to do. And we did, like I say, we had a few little issues there. But there's four of us that are going. Roy Carter, Steve Kelly, Mike Stone, and Ken Allred. Those are the four. You'll be seeing more about and from us as we head into it. Thank you, Helen, for keeping me straight. That way you can pray for people by name instead of just those guys that are going, okay? Anything else I have forgotten? Pastor David, come on up. Let us know anything that you know of that I've forgotten, and then we'll get on out of here for the day.
I do have something that you haven't forgotten, you didn't know about, so you can't forget something you didn't know about. We're beginning a new Bible study at Roger and Don Reeves' house on February the 13th. It's from 12 to 1 p.m. Don Ree has not been able to come to church for a long time due to injuries to her back, and so we're going to take some church to her. We'll be having these Bible studies every other Tuesday at the same time. Paul Johansson is going to be teaching. He's going to be teaching from the book of Daniel, and there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. It's important that you sign up if you're going to go, because there's a limited space in someone's house. It's not like we could move it to the sanctuary if it outgrew it. So please let us know. I know many of the folks in Paul's Sunday School class will be wanting to participate. Others of you are welcome to participate as long as we can control the crowd. Let me lead you in a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being called the family of God, loving and caring for one another, and not just in the family of God here at Central Baptist Church, but all over the world. And Lord, we pray that you will continually impress on us the necessity of being a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.